why we love the Song Dynasty, exploring the history and charm of one of China's most fascinating dynasties. Episode 3, Unlocking the Secrets of the Song Dynasty Masterpiece. In the show today, we're going to look a little closer at the masterpiece of the Song Dynasty, the Painted Scroll, along the river during the Qingming Festival. Particularly at the clues left behind by the artist Zhang Ziduan, which tell us when the scroll was painted and exactly how prosperous the Song Dynasty had become. I'm Bob Jones, and in this Why We Love the Song Dynasty podcast, I'm throwing the spotlight on what was to become one of China's most iconic dynasties in the country's long and colorful history. In our introduction to the Along the River during the Qingming Festival scroll, we discovered that the painting was a depiction of scenes in and around Kaifeng, which was the capital of what's known as the Northern Song Dynasty. Not to go into too much detail, but the Song Dynasty neatly divides into two parts, each with 9 emperors each. Halfway through, Song society had to decamp south because of skirmishes with nasty neighbors. They chose what's now Hangzhou as their new capital, establishing the Southern Song, part 2 of the dynasty. Kaifeng has been chosen as the capital city by no less than 8 Chinese dynasties. It's not hard to understand why. It has a mild climate, excellent communication links, and a vibrant culture. During the Song Dynasty, it became one of the most prosperous cities in all of China. Incredibly, before the Song, there were no shops in the streets. Instead, they were gathered together in one place, almost like shopping malls, and they all had to close after dark. Soldiers patrolled the streets, making sure that people observed a curfew. Anyone without a good reason why they were on the streets were immediately arrested and thrown into jail. This all changed with the coming of the Song Dynasty. Improved transport links made Kaifeng a hub for trade. There was so much commerce that it couldn't all be done by nightfall. And because more trade meant more taxes, the government soon relaxed the rules and trading continued right up until midnight. This encouraged even more late trading, which then developed into night markets, which are still a vibrant feature of some Chinese cities today. They soon became more than just places to buy and sell commodities and turned into venues for all-night entertainment. Here, you could shop till you drop, grab a meal, take in a show, stay all night, and tuck into a hearty breakfast next morning. Undoubtedly, our painter Zhang Ziduan was fascinated by the traders and revelers in this prosperous city where people literally were flashing the cash and having a jolly good time. Kaifeng quickly became the largest city in the world. Made up of 8 districts, 120 lanes, and 100,000 households, there was even an army of almost 1.4 million men encamped here. Kaifeng was a boomtown, with official records showing that tax receipts at its height were valued at some 160 million strings of copper coin per year, which is around $30 billion in today's money. No other country in the world had a higher GDP at that time. But what kinds of things were people buying and selling? Take a closer look at our scroll painting and we get a very clear idea. Here we see people selling food, medicines and household goods. There were tea houses, hotels, money changers, pawn shops, gambling establishments, fortune tellers, traders of every kind imaginable. And the buyers, civil and military officers, literati, soldiers, brokers, vendors, boatmen, craftsmen, coachmen, labourers and villagers, basically everyone. And in the midst of all this prosperity, we also see vagrants and children begging, so we know the prosperity didn't always filter down to everyone. All human life can be seen in this amazing artwork. But these hectic scenes of everyday life weren't the only influences for our painter. Zhang Ziduan borrowed many scenes from religious paintings. One contemporary work managed to fit in 810 figures, which was typical of the time. He also would have seen Buddhist and Taoist murals on the walls of local temples, and the works of many other fellow artists. But remember, Zhang Ziduan's masterpiece is no mega painting on the scale of, for example, Rembrandt's Night Watch, which is 3.5 by 4.5 meters and packed with life-size figures. No, the Qingming Scroll is truly a feat of miniaturization. Artists had long realized that to show hundreds of wild geese, apes, horses, cows, sheep, and deer together, you had to line them up or put them in combinations. Basically find clever ways to suggest a multitude of figures. Zhang Ziduan would have been well aware of and indeed admired the work of Li Gonglin, a renowned artist of the Song dynasty, whose painting After Wei Yan's Pasturing Horses contains 1,286 equine subjects and 143 people. The horses and figures themselves are not large, and their sheer numbers are suggested more by composition, movement, and activity. What does the scroll tell us about when it was painted? Actually, quite a lot. Just as today, fashions change quickly, so the dresses and accessories of the women in the painting are a massive clue. Although there are, in fact, actually no more than 10 women in the entire piece. This was no #MeToo moment in history. All are wearing loose short coats and have short hair. Such costumes appeared during the reign of the 8th Song Emperor Zhao Ji, aka Emperor Huizong, during his Chungning and Daguan eras, so between 1102 and 1110. An interesting fact here. Emperors' reigns were broken up into eras, purely to identify years. They usually had names or slogans representing the spirit of the age, something inspirational. In this case, Chungning means follow the new laws. There's another curious clue in the scroll. There are two people pushing carts. One cart is covered by a piece of cloth with big Chinese characters painted on it. It's clearly a work of calligraphy, which were normally prized. But why, then, is it being used to cover goods on a cart? Well, during the reign of Emperor Huizong, there were skirmishes between two factions, the old party and the new party. As each faction was deposed in turn, its calligraphy was torn down and their publications destroyed or reused, in this case as a cover for a cart. So, we're talking somewhere between 1102 and 1106. But there's more. In the painting, we can also see people using a large coin. Such coins were minted in the early years of the Chungning era of Emperor Huizong due to rampant inflation. In the scroll, we see someone using it to pay for some meat. The meat has the price of 60 copper coins per jin, about half a kilo. The price narrows the date down to the early years of Chungning. That's around about the time that Zhang Ziduan was admitted to the Imperial Painting Academy. It was also at a time when the new emperor had issued a decree declaring that he was young and inexperienced and asking his subjects to advise him on his governance. Good advice would be rewarded. But there was to be no punishment for bad advice. Bit of a win-win situation for advisors. One such piece of feedback concerned the controversial large coin. Entertainers especially hated it, so much so that it became the subject of plays and comedies. It was introduced by calligrapher and politician Cai Qing, who was immortalized as one of the main baddies in The Water Margin, one of the four great classical novels of Chinese literature. One troupe of actors put on a play called Equal to 10 Coins, which became the talk of the town. The drama tells the story of an old man who sells soybean milk from dawn to dusk. a young man, in a hurry, asks for a bowl of the milk. The old man gives him one bowl, and after drinking it, the young man takes out a large coin to pay for it. The old man mocks him, saying, "I've just opened up for the morning. I don't have any change. You'll just have to drink another 9 bowls of soy milk." The young man had no option but to keep drinking. After 5 bowls, his stomach was fit to burst, and he told the milkseller, "Thank goodness this large coin is only equal to 10 smaller ones. If it was equal to 100, then I'd need to drink another 99 bowls." Howls of laughter, audiences rolling in the aisles. Okay, so Sung humor needs a bit of getting used to. But it made a serious point, which was taken on board by the emperor, who scrapped the coin. So, not only do we learn from the scroll that the people of the Sung dynasty were prosperous, had a sense of humor, of sorts, but we also now know the scroll was painted around the year 1105. Special thanks go out to San Lien Zhongdu for their help in creating the content for this show. This is Bob Jones. Thanks for listening. Join me again.